Blog Talk Radio.
This is world champion D.E. Chambers, president of the Amateur Organization of Karate and multi-Greek Award winner. I would like to welcome you to Professor Gary Lee's Parts Unknown radio talk show, featuring news, special announcements, special one-on-one interviews with stars of sport karate. Thank you for listening. Buckle up and enjoy the show.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee. I'm the host of Parts Unknown, and I'm so happy that you're allowing us to be in your home on Tuesday night, share with you sport karate news, updates, and amazing things that are happening. But before we talk about, and we got a great show tonight, I want to bring on my producer, the man that has put me on the air in front of the world, literally, because this year in October, for Roy Curvin's event, I got people coming in from England, Switzerland, Saudi Arabia, I mean, Finland. I'm excited. But before we start our show tonight, I want to bring on my producer. He is the man who's responsible for the Who's Who books and some of the amazing events that's around America honoring the pioneers. I'm talking about the one, the only, Honky Jesse Bourne. Jesse, are you there, sir?
I am, sir.
Yes.
How are you doing?
And Professor, before before Mr. Bourne talks, let me remind everybody to keep their phones on mute, just so that we can make sure we hear what Mr. Bowen's saying, what Professor's saying, what any of the guests are saying. So if you're not talking, just please place your phone on mute. Thanks. Go ahead,
thank
Mr.
You,
Bowen.
Thank you, Dean. Okay, Honky Bowen, tell us a little bit what you got a big event for Uncle Bill here, coming from Bill Superfoot Wallace, and you also do the blog and you got books. Tell us a little bit what's going on with Honky Jesse Bowen.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, sir. I think it's really congratulations. And, you know, we worked hard over the past 7 years or 9 years to really put out a positive show, and that as the world looks, and they will make an opinion about us and who we are. And, you know, I'm always grateful when people are calling and say thank you for, you know, what you're doing for the martial arts. You know, that's what's really important, and the image in which that we hold in the martial arts and respect and consideration. And, you know, I talked with, you know, Grandmaster Wallace this week, and one of the big things that's, you know, that sort of hit me this week is what can we do to show our support in the humanitarian area, you know, for Ukraine and the things that's going on, you know. And so what we're going to do, this month's edition of the book, the magazine, all the proceeds from the sales of the magazine is going to be going to our nonprofit organization, which will be distributed to the American Red Cross and other areas.
Cool.
That's really looking at the humanitarian efforts of really reaching out for other human beings. You know, that could be us. We could be in that situation. And, you know, the outpour of what we're seeing and emotionally feeling. So this is what martial artists should be doing, is coming together to support. You know, we raised over $15,000 back in when the tsunami hit Katrina. We raised over $18,000 during that time. You know, people that we didn't know, but we reached out to support and to, you know, to support them, to help others.
Yep.
And this is what, you know, this is what the organization, so this is one of the things that we're doing. We're working with several other martial arts nonprofits that we're going to come together in this month. And Grandmaster Wallace, we talked yesterday, he thought this was a great idea. He's all for it, of, you know, people coming together and having somewhat of a voice. And this is what we are, this is what the American Martial Arts Alliance is about. You know, it's about something that's happening positive. If it's not happening positive, then it's not happening. And this is why, you know, the radio show and everything that we are doing is so important in there. We had programs this afternoon with four amazing women on Becoming an Author. You know, we're trying to encourage people to, you know, educate themselves, learn the tools that we have, and then learn how to utilize these tools to empower themselves to be able to make their lives better.
Well, you certainly.
And Mr. Bowen, going back to your thing, Professor, right quick. Going right. back to his thing, is there a website people can go to donate?
Well, that's what we're working. You know, I woke up. Monday morning. This is what hit me to do. So right now we're not pushing the magazine out to next week. I'm meeting with Grandmaster Wallace tomorrow, and we'll be designing a website just for the givings. For that, you know, for the magazine, for all, you know, for all that. So I'm hoping
by
the end of the week.
Next week's show, we'll have information on that. Right.
That's why we're holding the release of the magazine so we can put the focus of the magazine, you know, towards doing something. We're calling on all martial artists, you know, to do something. And, you know, people that would like to be a part of a committee of helping and, you know, Dane, if you guys have say, well, I'd like to be a part of this, and I'd like to set up a special because I don't want to personally be in charge of it. I'd like to set up a committee that oversees this. We're there to, you know, provide the function, but this is a great time, you know, to bring, you know, kickathons. This is a great time to bring your students, and that we really, you know, we talk about humanitarian efforts. You know, no matter what people believe, you know, dying is dying, and, you know, we really need to have, the martial arts community needs to have some form of a voice.
Well, you certainly have done a lot with the 9 years I've been with you, and I really appreciate what you're doing. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Dr. Jesse Bowen, one of the great martial artists of America that we have. Now, before you leave, if anybody wants to get involved with Elite Publications or with you personally, how would they get in touch with you?
They can go to our website. We have a new website coming up, but you can go to elitepublications.org, and you can register there. Or just give me a call. You know, you can 919-618-8075. And, you know, we're really, really helping a lot of martial artists to discover themselves and, you know, the stories. And as we've all been around that 30, 40, 50 years, we've learned something that we can share with others that can be a roadmap that they don't have to go down a dark road. We can be that lamppost that shed light on, you know, on their martial arts journey and about life.
Yes, sir. Well, we appreciate everybody from the Sport Crime Museum, all the history journals, appreciate your vision, and we certainly will look forward to what you're going to be doing with us in the magazine and for Uncle Bill. Now, before you leave, I've got to ask about Las Vegas. Give me an update on Vegas with Bill's debut book and everything.
Okay, so we're coming out in Vegas. We're going to be at the Gold Coast Hotel Casino to nominate someone. This is going to be really great. We had our rings, which we're known for. We have designed a special ring for Grandmaster Wallace, so the Bill Wallace tribute ring that all of our inductees get, and this is going to be on July the 15th and 16th. We're also a certifying organization for the Presidential Community Service Award. So the Presidential Community Service Award will be a part of that event. This is not just for martial artists. This is for any individual, youth and adult, that are participating with community service hours. So that will be added into our event. And we're also going to be having Take Center Stage, which is the Authors Expo. That's going to be, so we have three events happening in Vegas.
Well, that's exciting. Now, before you leave, I know we're doing a stainless steel ring, a gold ring, and maybe a silver ring. How would people get a Sport Crime Museum ring that you produce? How would they get involved with that?
Simple way. They can go to the website, which is now is located on the AMAA, on the Who's Who in the Martial Arts website. They can email me at amaawhosu@gmail.com, and they can text me 919-618-8075. And the rings that we're producing now are custom rings. So this is their name is on the inside. We can actually custom put the year that they joined the martial arts or the year that they became a history general. So these are each ring is totally customized.
That is so cool. Well, thank you, Humpty Jesse Bowen, for your insight, your vision, and your passion to help, you know, other people. I really appreciate it so much. So you have a good night, sir. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Humpty Jesse Bowen, my producer of Parts Unknown. And now I get the fun part. I get to introduce my two co-hosts. Now, these guys have been putting up with me for a long time. And this first gentleman, I got to adopt him from the great Joe Louis. And he's been with me for quite a few years now. He's a NASCAR world champion, a Marine, and he's really a neat guy. His name is Dean Piles. Dean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
How you doing, Dean?
Doing good.
Good, buddy. So good to hear from you. Now, don't go anywhere. I'm going to introduce your co-pilot.
I'm not going anywhere.
My buddy from Ohio, he's dealing with all that cold journey up there, which I hated Ohio, but he lives up there in Cleveland. He's a Taekwondo master. Now, you guys know me. I don't use that word master very often, but he really is a Taekwondo master. He is our spokesman for our military group that we have at the Sport Karate Museum. He's a really cool guy. It'll be in October, by the way. I've got him stepping on poison glass. Seriously, he's going to be doing on glass, doing a spinning wheel kick and breaking boards. I'm not making that up. He's really going to do that in October. I'm talking about the one, the only, A.J. Perry. A.J., you there, buddy?
Thanks for a nice introduction, Professor. How are you?
I lied.
Man, that was super nice, A.J.
I'm not going to be able to get down
check out
through the doorway.
Yeah. Checks in the mail, guys. It's checks in the mail. Now, before I give a subject that I love talking about, I've got a very special friend that, God, we go back to the 70s, and she had a nickname way before I had my nickname, Flash, White Rock, whatever. Her name was Ridgehand Rhonda. Now, Ridgehand Rhonda came from the same school that I lived in the basement for 3 years. We're talking about the great Sam Chapman. Rhonda, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Well, so nice to have you on the show tonight to talk to you.
Hi, Rhonda.
Now, the reason why I had you on the show, you're having a tournament this Saturday, correct?
Well, it was just past Saturday, but it was really, really good. I had some very good support, and I had some fantastic judges that came out and helped. And I thank all of them. And if it wasn't for the sportsmanship and the teamwork, it wouldn't have went smooth like it did.
Cool. Well, I want to make it public. We're making you a history general for the Sport Karate Museum. We're going to get you a diploma and invite you out in October to come to Roy Kerman's event. But we're so honored to have you, Rhonda, because now I want to talk to you a little bit. Who gave you the nickname Ridgehand Rhonda?
You know what? I do not know. All I know, the first time they ever put me, you know what? Yes, I do. The magazine is the one that gave me that name.
Okay.
Because the first time they put me in the magazine, that's when they start talking about Miss Ridgehand Rhonda. And once people read that, I've been Miss Ridgehand Rhonda ever since.
Now, we came, because I came from Kyokushin and Kempo in Hawaii, but when I came to Greenville, South Carolina, I got introduced to American karate with Sam and Bobby and Will and everybody. That's where you started at. Did you make black belt under Sam?
Well, I was a black belt when I came to Sam, but Sam is the one taught me how to fight. And when I moved to Georgia, Joe Corley and Keith Vitale helped me perfect what I already knew.
Well, you know, I love talking to you, Rhonda, because to me, we come from the same roots because, you know, I knew about karate pretty good, but I was young. But Sam taught me how to fight, too. He taught me how to fight twice.
I don't know if you remember this guy. Do you remember this guy named Sherman?
Sherman, yeah. Sherman Harrison.
Yeah, Sherman is the one that really helped me because Sam knew I hated to fight Sherman. So one day I was fighting Sherman, and Sherman bust my nose. And so I had to stop to go downstairs to clean my nose up. But when I came back upstairs, I told Sam I wanted to get back out there with Sherman. And I beat him when I went back out there because I realized what was happening. I was afraid.
Well, you know, I lived, when you say downstairs, I lived underneath the stairs for 3 years. Now, I'm going to tell you a funny story about Sherman. Like clockwork, because I ran the school for Sam for years. Like clockwork, every day at 3 o'clock when Sherman got off work, he was at the school working on the bag. And he'd work on the bag until 6 when we started our classes. He was an animal. I loved Sherman. He was a great guy.
Yeah, he was an
animal.
That's
a good memory. Well, do you remember, golly bum, let's see, there was Becky, but do you remember Gary Landris?
Yes.
You know, I raised Gary, and Gary and I, we traveled all around the country doing demos and everything, and then, you know, we lost him last year. You know, he passed away.
I didn't know Gary had passed.
Yes, ma'am. He passed away last year. But before he passed, he became a history general. And, you know, I'm going to make sure I'll call you tomorrow. Call me tomorrow, and I'll give you the name of the printer that will send you your diploma. And, you know, it says history general. And, you know, you deserve that so much to be recognized for that level because I remember, Rhonda, there was a reason why they called you Rich and Rhonda. Well, Rhonda, thank you for being on the show tonight. I appreciate it so much.
I loved it. I really loved it.
Don't go nowhere.
Thanks for inviting me.
We're going to have a great show tonight. So don't go nowhere. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. That was Ridge and Rhonda Alexander from Atlanta, Georgia. You know, we got to share with her a little bit. But tonight is a subject that I love talking about because I was on a few teams in my career. But, you know, I remember when teams started, it was just etiquette. It wasn't for a uniform. It wasn't for entry fees. You were chosen to be on a team because it was prestigious. And the uniforms didn't match. You were just chosen by whoever was in the authority to put together a team. And then it went to team levels where people wanted teams to look alike. And that's where the entry fee started being paid. Everybody started wearing the same uniform. You might have got a bag, but, you know, that was pretty much it. And then it started where teams were, they got their uniforms, they got bags, they got their entry fees paid. They got the airfare, they got their hotel expenses taken care of, and they were fed. And, you know, then it went to craziness. I mean, there was one team called the Trans World Oil Team that was run by Mr. Chuck Merriman, rest in peace. They would pay $500 for everything you won if you were on that team. If you won grand and you won the Trans World Oil Team, you win $5,000. Now that became reality. Now, I don't know where the teams are at now, but we've got the 6 tonight to talk about it in detail. And I'm so proud of what I've done with this group. I put together 6 incredible people from around the country to talk about topics each week. And, you know, tonight, I call him Uncle Jerry. Uncle Jerry Smith, he's in surgery, he's dealing with his eye, so he won't be on tonight. But I've got some incredible people of the 6. And the first person I would like to introduce is the lady of the group. Now, she is a Shoryu Karatea. She does kung fu, but she was a formal PKL champion, a great competitor, a fellow of Miss Karen Slatcher. Karen, you there?
I am. How are you, dear?
I'm doing great, Karen. You know, I mean, as we were talking about earlier today, you were there in the very early years, Tell me your concept of teams, how you know, your idea about teams.
Sure. We started watching the team thing. It was in 82 or 83 maybe, and I would take a group down to a tournament, one of the bigger top 10 tournaments that they had, and suddenly this team is there, and they were called the Atlantic team. They became Trans World, but they were the Atlantic team, and
right.
We noticed that they kind of walked on water in everybody's eyes, and they were excellent. I mean, that's when John Frenette kicked in a circle, if you remember. Remember, he would do that circling kick. Everybody stood up, and every kid in the place knew how to do it by the end of the day because it became like the biggest thing they ever saw. But they
right.
came in with extra training. They were sponsored, so they were allowed to train all the time, and just a cut above everybody else. It was very hard to beat them. They were expected to win. They always got the nod when it came down to giving them. They got extra perks for being there, and it was hard to beat them. Like in a fight or anything, it was tough because everything was stacked against you. But fighting them was amazing. They were that you could learn a lot.
Kind of like
them.
Now with the John Paul Mitchell team, you know, it's run by Don Rodriguez and Christine. Every time a John Paul Mitchell guy walks in, a kid or even an adult, the room stops because they know they're
right.
the ones that are going to have to bring excellence to the table. And that's just what Mr. Babcock and Don Rodriguez demands. They want excellence. But I appreciate your opinion on the teams, Karen. It means a lot. How you doing? You ready for October?
I am already thinking that's what I'm wearing.
Let me give you a little tease. I'm going to tell everybody tonight, but I'm going to tease everybody right now. On Friday, we have Sylvester Stallone and Terry Funk from the WWE and John Paul Genorio, the owner of the John Paul Mitchell team, all getting their honorary black belt. And then we have Pokey Hill, Arlene Lemus, and Dolly Bum, Herb Perez talking about World Karate Olympics. We've got, Friday night is going to be just as big as Saturday. Okay, I've got Colonel Phil Torres, General Tom Mulligan, and Gunny Sergeant Patrick Kelly talking about leadership. Okay, we've got a special tribute, a special singer coming in, a professional singer singing Wind Beneath My Wings, and dedicated to Bob Wall, Leo Fong, Bill Capel, Glenn Keeney, John Natividad, J. Pat Burleson, who we all lost. We lost these guys like within a month. So we're going to do a tribute to them. And I got special speakers coming in to speak, like Jim Beaton, other people to speak about the history and the love that we had for people like J. Pat Burleson, Leo Fong, and the guys that we lost, Bob Wall. I mean, it's been hard. It's been hard, Karen, for me to deal with this.
It's
past
hard.
Month.
Yeah, it
but,
is
you know,
hard.
The radio show and you guys really motivate me. And, you know, I remember when Bob put together the World Black Belt team, and I was on that. That was really powerful. He let my son be on it, and we had an incredible team back in the day. And, you know, it was really fun. It wasn't about money being paid. It was nice having a uniform or a bag and your entry fee being paid for tournaments, but just being on the team, being on a team and chosen. I'll tell you something funny, Karen. Pops Kranzu, who was the leader of the Sherman Oaks team.
Right.
At 92, he pulled me over and he said, look, Gary, we all voted. We want you to be a Raider, but there's three levels. One level, everybody has to vote you in. Not one person can say you can't be part of the team. Two, you have to have potential to win a first place. Three, which you meet with high qualifications, you got to be a little crazy. You can be a Raider if you meet all three qualifications. And I said, well, I know I can probably win a first place. And did everybody vote for me? He says, yes. I said, well, I guess I'm a little crazy. I want to be a Raider. So I was a Raider for 12 years, you know?
Wow.
And it was fun. It was fun. But thank you so much, Karen. I love you being on the six. And I'll talk to you real soon, okay? Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Now, did Tom How Spellman ever get on the air?
I'm right here.
Okay, Tom. Now, you go back
yes,
to
sir.
The day when it was prestigious to be on a team, and I know you were also on the Tracy's team with Joe and everything. Tell me your aspects about teams.
Well, back in the 60s, you know, it was very often that it was a team against somebody else's others. It was school against school or that kind of thing. And so the teams often were homogenous. They were, you know, all Shotokan or all this or all that from one school or one organization. So you had, you know, a chance to be able to see different organizations and styles go against one another. But, you know, it was all for, you know, the honor of the team, the honor of the school, the organization, whoever you represented as a group. And, you know, you were practicing. I know that when I was when I fought in 85 on the grand opening of one of Mr. Oshima's dojo, Los Angeles, they had, for the first time, they had team championships. And so I ended up being the captain of the Long Beach team from the Pure Dojo and everything. And so, you know, we practiced on Saturdays, and all of us, I think, went into the tournament with injuries, almost like a you know, MMA kind of situation. I had a broken hip, and other guys had stuff. And it was like, okay, well, you know, at least we know we can fight, and we know we can take the punishment. So we went in there and gave, you know, as well as we got. But that was the thing. It wasn't even prestige as much as it was the honor of standing side by side with our brothers and making, you know, making a good showing and feeling, you know, honored to represent, you know, the group. And it wasn't until long after that, you know, we were fighting with Tracy's in the early years. I was one of the guys that was the first guys to wear the checkered gi in the internationals with Joe and JT Will and Pennington and all the other guys that fought that day. And that was a really neat thing to do that. But even then it was, you know, our team, and it was, you know, the Pongsudo team of you know, Norris and all of those kinds of things. So even then, more often a school situation.
Well, let me share this with you, Tom, and this is a little tidbit, buddy. At the first Living Legends in 1999, Roger Green came up to me, and he gave me one of those checkered geese. And that was cool, but on the right side of the shoulder, it looked like an old ketchup stain. And I looked at Roger, Roger Green, by the way, was Joe Lewis's first flat belt. He was a member of the Tracy team. And I said, Roger, why didn't you wash the gi before you gave it to me? He says, well, I didn't want to wash the blood out of the gi. And he gave me a bloody checkered gi. Now, I asked him specifically. I think I asked Joe, too, before he passed. I said, why? And he told me the same thing. He said, because it was an illusion. People would look at that gi and get mesmerized by it. You know, it was like an illusion. Do you agree with that or what?
Well, actually, what happened was that there were a lot of complaints because to get used to the gi, because it was a little bit different fabric than a lot of the Takedo gis and things we were wearing back in the day. And so we'd get them on and we'd start working out and we get headaches because the original gis had a kaleidoscopic kind of open and closing pattern rather than just a pattern of consistent checkers. So it was like
a wobble.
Looking at,
yeah,
it's like having a 60s flashback, you know, when we were working out with each other and we get headaches from it because of that perception. Joe used to complain about it all the time.
Well, that was interesting, Tom. Thank you so much for your insight. And by the way, when you talk to Uncle Jerry, make sure you tell him we love him. We miss him. We'll see him next week. And
absolutely.
He'll be okay, right? He's just going through the surgery of his eye.
Yeah, that's all it is. He's just getting on the other end of the surgery, and they've changed his medication. They're dialing his medication in to get little things here and there to make sure that he's going to be totally good. But he got to drive for the first time, you know, with his eyes clearing up and everything. And the whole world is opening back up to him, and he's really excited about it. And so who knows what we'll do and what we'll do from him in the coming months.
Now, also, you are doing the pictures of all the history generals on the webpage, which anybody wants to go there, and then go to www.sportkarateMuseumArchives.com. Now, tell everybody why I got you in the air, how easy it is if you're a history general to send their high resolution picture to you, and where do they send it?
Well, they can send it to me by phone if they want, and my phone number is 541-880-8033, or they can send it to my my email address at Yahoo, and it's a long one, but I think you've given it out to quite a few different people over the time, and we can put it back up on the internet so it's easier for people to just get the link and click it, but the big thing is that we've got a lot of folks that have been concerned, thinking that their information was lost or misplaced or something, and so they've sent more than once. And so I've gotten to the point where I'm sending thank yous back by email, and when I do, I'm also saying you have done your duty. Thank you so much, and please disregard any other requests for submission because the headquarters is just trying to be efficient and trying to make sure that everybody's covered. But everybody that sent them, I have sent them a thank you back so that they know that it's there. So, that's not a problem. We've got to be
all the history generals and the ambassadors and everybody associated with the museum has a big thank you to you, Tom. You're a great guy. We appreciate you so much. And tell your lovely wife, Elmo, too, please, okay?
I will. She's going to Hawaii in June, so okay. She'll be back there. She'll lay a lay down on the aina for you.
Yeah, okay. Well, aloha, Tom. Aloha, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Professor Tom Spellman, and an amazing man, amazing worker for the museum. Now, moving right along, this man, I'm so proud of him. I've known him since he was a orange belt. And now he's the president of the Amateur Organization of Karate, known as the AOK. This is the largest karate tournament circuit in the state of Texas. Now, that's a big deal, but this is a bigger deal to me. He has won the Golden Greek over 5 times. Now, that is the MVP of Texas. You have to be the best in kata and weapons, and you're chosen by points. Now, I'm going to tell a real short story. It took me 17 years to win the Golden Greek. The first 7 years, I lost it by 2 or 3 points, and I got frustrated, and I quit the OK and started fighting NBL, NASCAR, and other circuits. But 1997, I was talking, going back into the OK by a man named Mr. Wade Kirkpatrick, who worked for Chuck Norris, and I earned the Golden Greek in 1997, but this man has won 5 of them. He's an amazing man. I'm talking about Mr. D.E. Chambers, David Chambers. Are you there, D.E.?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Send the mail for a hell of an introduction like that, buddy.
It made me shake.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you, because you're out there every weekend, what you're doing. How do you feel about the team concept, the idea of a national team or a state team or whatever?
Well, I'm going to look at it from a different perspective, and I'm going to look at it from some of today's teams. Because the teams have changed a lot, and some of y'all mentioned it, the prestige that was on it, the reason why you got on it, what it was thought about. It's a little different now because, one, it's so many different teams. But we have a tournament next month. It's May the 14th. We have one virtual tournament, May the 7th, and one in person on May the 14th. And I was looking at some of the teams that was registering. And I thought it was neat because some of the teams are teams of their own school. and some of the teams, you know, some just some teams that's national. And I was excited about seeing the teams from the own school because those teams is taught by one instructor. Now, I always said I think it's great to go find the best people in the world, put them together, create your master team. That's fantastic. But when you can take a team out of your dojo and they can win consistently, that to me, that gives a strong bit of credibility.
Yeah.
And that's what I was so excited about seeing some of that, because I was blessed where we had a good team from our dojo that did real well. Now, they was my sons, but it was great to see them step out there and do a fantastic job, even when they competed against some of the ones who've been winning quite a bit on the national level. So I just love to see sometimes the dojos who I call homegrown. When you get a person that I know these three people has been in my school for years and they training and they come out to compete and they have a fantastic record from winning, that had a lot more stability to me. That meant more to me because it felt more real because of the structure.
For Christmas in May, is there team competition that day?
There is team competition at Christmas.
Are you giving away money? Are you giving away money?
I am giving away money, yes.
How much?
$300.
For teams. Is that a three-man team or a five-man team?
Three-man team.
Wow, that's cool. Now, how will they register for Christmas in May? How will they get in contact with you?
You can go to Event Reg. That's always the easiest way. And then you look for the tournament is actually named the Houston International Karate Championship, but because we have a Christmas theme, you know, we want to. I'm probably about the only tournament that gives away Christmas toys to kids. We also get for first
place. Well,
you know
what? I got to plug us. Back in the day, both of us had a reputation to give away bicycles. Because I gave away a lot of bicycles through Academy. You give away bicycles still, don't you?
I do. We do. We're giving away a bicycle for first place in Florida.
Wow. Well, we got off the team subject, but thank you so much for who you are and what you've done and inspiring me, even though you won the Golden Greek five times. Well,
moving along, ladies and gentlemen,
that was incredible, David Chambers. I got to bring on one of my co-hosts, and I want to get his opinion on the team concept. I'm talking about my buddy from Ohio, Mr. A.J. Perry. A.J., you there, bud?
I'm here. How are you?
Good.
You were talking about...
we talked about this, and... You know, I want your opinion on basically who, what, when, where, and how your concept of teams. And I know that you know a lot of the Korean teams that were fighting back in the
day. Well, you know, I remember, the Atlantic team like it was yesterday. I mean, I think it was, you know, you might want to help me with the names, but I think it was Chip Wright, Toki Hill, Richard Plowden, Billy Blanks. There was a couple others. But...
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing about that Atlantic
Perry,
team.
Steve Perry. I mean, Corey Landtrip.
Yeah. That's who I was trying to think of. But the thing about that Atlantic team is that it not only prestigious, but it gave people a goal to try to strive for. And that's important, especially for young martial artists, to always have that hunger to try to keep striving forward. So it gave them that goal. And then, at least the hunger to strive for that goal. But, you know,
now, was
the
Atlantic
great...
team before Budweiser or Budweiser before the Atlantic team?
God, I thought it was Atlantic first.
Okay. Because I know Budweiser changed the industry because that was a major sponsor that they got together to sponsor that group. And that was a big money thing, I know. And then Chuck Merman did the Trans World team from the Atlantic team, and they gave away a lot of money. I mean, I think Linda Denley, I mean, she cleaned up because I think they gave all first places from that team that won, they would receive $500. And then if they won the grand,
that was a lot of money.
They won the grand, they would win like $5,000. So People like Linda Finley cleaned up.
One of the other great early teams was the KI team that David Clem headed up.
Johnny and Monster Man and Hogan and
Smiley Lee and Mike March, David Prue.
Mike March. I remember him. Yeah.
Right.
Ken
Dowd. I was pretty young when that was going on. But I remember seeing those guys at, some of the tournaments in Detroit, when I was pretty young. And, that was something to look up to.
Right. Well, that's a good insight, AJ. I wish you the best, buddy. And I'm looking forward to you standing on glass, breaking boards, and making everybody being entertained in October. All right. Moving right along. My other co-host, who I love. He's a NASCAR world champion, and he's been on. In fact, he has a team. I think it's called PVT, but he'll tell me. Anyway, I'm talking about Mr. Dean Pyle. Dean, you there, bud?
Yes, sir, right here.
Okay. Now, you have a team called the PVD team, right?
Yeah, we have team PVT, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that during Kicking It with Wolverine. Do what?
Wait a minute now. Now, they're a national team. That means that you've gone to national events and you've taken your team. Now, I want to ask you, not the Wolverine yet, I want to ask Dean Pyle, what's it like, to be chosen for a team and to be asked to be part of a team, whether your entry fee is paid or you get money or you wear a uniform or get a bag? What's it like just to be asked to be on a team, Dean?
It's an honor to be asked to be on a team because you've made an impact and you've brought recognition to yourself and your instructor. And the most part is, you're out there competing, and when we compete, you may compete as an individual, but you're not competing technically as an individual because you had an instructor that trained you, so you're representing someone. So when you're representing someone, it's an honor to be recognized by a team and be asked to be on a team, because you have represented your instructor in a way that you've won your competition and done a good job as a competitor. And that makes a big impact. And so in that sense, you should feel good in two ways. One, that you were recognized by a team that would want to bring you on their team to represent them because of your talent. And two, you should be honored because of the skill sets that your instructor has bestowed upon you, had, given you this opportunity to be recognized.
Right.
I've been asked to be I was a member of the League of Angels also, that just a from Sherman Oaks Raiders.
Ron Pinnell and
yes,
Joey Stiflett, those guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good guy.
I was asked to be on Team AKA and different ones, like I say, it's an honor. To get to be, recognized in that way.
Yeah. Well, you know what? One thing, Dean, you're an actual champion of nationality because you go all over, you went all over the country and you represented sport karate and everything, not just fighting, kata, creative weapons, but everything. Now, I want to ask you a question, Dean. Okay. What was it like to do all those divisions and the pressure of being on a team to represent that? Now, I know you have a couple of students, one particularly, a man named Bruce House, who's a protege of yours, but he's won a lot of second places because you won first. Now, you guys are on the same team. Is that pressure when you guys go out and compete against each other?
No, not really, because we don't look at it as competing against each other. We just look at it as, demonstrating our skill set. And one of the main reasons that I put Bruce, of course, I'm older than Bruce, but by a little bit. But one of the main reasons that I went ahead and just had him compete in my same division was because I looked at it like this. It was a strategy. One, you know, I have diabetes, so if my blood sugar dropped and I didn't take first place, I wanted to make sure that somebody wearing my colors took first place. So technically that's still a win for me if I trained Bruce well enough to take the first place in that division if something happened and I had to back out of that division. You know, and so that was the reason for doing that. And then, you know, I like competing in a lot of stuff. If I'm going to be there all day, you know, it's good to be able to compete and have all that stuff. You know, one of our big things was self-defense, and we were undefeated in self-defense, doing traditional self-defense as well as, you know, creative or choreographed self-defense, you know, continuous self-defense, or whatever you want to call it, you know, where it was more like a movie fight. But, you know, we did that. That was something that was really fun to do in the NBA because they had both of that. And then, you know, in NASCAR, they don't really have that division, but the U.S. Open has that division. So right. It was really awesome to do that.
And then in the U.S. Open, is ISKA. They're not NASCAR.
Right,
right.
Yeah, the self-defense. Okay. Yeah, the self-defense is ISKA. It's not a it's not a NASCAR division, but it's a considered a NASCAR tournament. Pretty
Dean, I know that the Wolverine is near, so go get him because he's going to be on the air in just a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen,
Roger that.
That was Mr. Dean Pyle, NASCAR World Champion and member of the Six. Now, I'm excited about this, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Reggie, I'm not excited about Reggie having surgery, but I'm excited about the idea of what's happening. Now, we created, they created, and I helped, with the idea of making a hologram in virtual reality that attacks you, and that's happening. And also, I asked them to make a village, okay, and where you walk into the set VR, there's a village, and this village is going to house different companies. So you can go in there and you can purchase hoodies, rings, swords, vitamins, whatever. But as you go into that village, you're going to be hit with questions like, who is Bob Wall? What is the difference between Taekwondo and Taekwondo? What is the difference between Kung Fu and Kung Fu? You're going to be educated. You're going to get smart. And as you walk out through that village, you'll walk into a forest. That forest will have the snakes and waterfalls and caves and jungles, whatever. But you'll be faced with a hologram. And this hologram will attack you. And you'll have to defend yourself against it, and you will. And then the wisdom warrior will appear, and he'll say, okay, whoever you are you educated? And, of course, you've gone through the questions and answers, and you beat the hologram. And the wisdom warrior will look at you and say, I'm sorry. You have to go back. And you go back to the village and through the forest, and you basically get smarter and smarter and smarter. We're going to start with like 50 questions and answers for you to learn about sport karate. Now you work your way back out to the forest. The hologram appears again. This time it's a samurai with a katana, a long sword, a wakizashi, and a tanto. And you have a choice of using Okinawa weapons, sai, kanpa, nunchucks, bow, and you have to fight this samurai. And you do, and you win. This time, the wisdom warrior appears. He says, okay, are you educated? This time, you are. You have all the answers, all the questions. You beat the both samurais. I lead you, or the wisdom warrior leads you to a gate. The gate opens up, and there will be, and this is exciting, we're going to have the history general portals. And as of this week, it was approved that the four people who are going to be the, or five people who will be the core group of the History General Portals for SetVR.app. That stands for Self-Defense Enhanced Training in Virtual Reality Application. Now, the first four chosen are Mike Stone, the first superstar of sport karate, Mike Dillard, the owner of Black Belt Magazine and the owner of Century Martial Arts, George Minshew, the founder of the Karate Olympics and the guy that gave away the first ring for sport karate. Chris Minshew, member of the NBL First Texas team and NBL world champion. Now, this is exciting. And last but not least, Mr. Roy Kerman. He invented the two-point kick for sport karate and also unified the rules. These are the core group: Roy Kerman, Mike Diller, George Minshew, Chris Minshew. Okay? And every month, we're going to add a new history general to setvr.app. Now, you can go to Google. Right, that's right. You go to Google and type in setvr.app, and you can see the demo of it and the portals, the village, and the hologram. So that is setvr.app. And next week, Reggie will be back with me, the inventor, Dr. Reggie Lee, because he had surgery. He's a real doctor. He works in a hospital, and he had surgery to deal with tonight, so he's not here. So that's exciting, guys, because to have those four incredible people, Mike Dillard, Roy Kerman, George Minshew, Chris Minshew, and of course, I said four, it's going to be five, Mike Stone, that's powerful, guys, to be able to teach sport karate, not only to America, but now we get to teach it to the world, sport karate, where it came from. And things are getting exciting for the museum. For instance, in October, I've got Gary Watson-Kosinski, better known as Thunder Kick. He is the producer of a movie studio and also runs the London Black Belt Hall of Fame. And he'll be coming into Texas, and he'll be inducting Roy Kerman and John Terry into the London Black Belt Hall of Fame. And it's going to be an exciting weekend. So if you want more information about Roy Kerman's tribute and roast and the exciting event for the Sport Karate Museum, you can call 713-483-0476. We've got a huge vendor show and a book fair and people coming in from Hollywood. It's going to be a big event for the Sport Karate Museum. Now, the last segment that I do, and I love it, I get to take the lease off of a man, as you met him earlier, his name is Gene Powell, but he has an alias that is called the Wolverine. Now, this is a man that, the Wolverine, says what he says, means what he says, and he can back it up. Every week, I have a question that I ask the Wolverine, and he directly answers it for me. Wolverine, where you at?
I'm right here, sir.
Okay. How does the Wolverine feel about team competition in the American sport karate circuit? Be nice.
Well, look, this is the thing. You ask me questions, Professor. You put me on the spot, and then you tell me to be nice when I answer. I can only answer them honestly. That's all I can do. You know, teams on the sport, it's a good, you know, in the circuit, it's a good thing. But I agree with Mr. Chambers when I feel like if you're, you know, unless your instructor is saying, hey, I can't go out to competition, you're allowed to go out on your own and compete and maybe get picked up by a team. I feel like that if you're competing, you know, the best teams is when you're representing your school and or the team is representing a school, the system they train in, with one instructor. Because, you know, a lot of these teams, they go out and they pick people that are competing maybe for a school team, and then they go ask them to be on their team, and then they're getting all the credit and the kudos for this person winning when the instructor that put in all the hard work is not even getting an honorable mention. You know, that's the bad thing. Also, one thing about teams, a lot of these teams that are big money teams that are sponsored, they also, I don't feel like they should be allowed to sponsor a competition. You know, like you'll see some competitions will have their flyer up and it'll say sponsored by team so-and-so and sponsored by team. Well, when your team is sponsoring, when the team is sponsoring an event, it kind of gives them some bias wiggle room also, you know, that the other people are not getting because their team's paying some money in to help the event out adjacent to, you know, putting competitors on the circuit. You know, and another thing is you have to watch for big money teams crowding and trying to sway the judges' decisions. Now, sometimes they may be trying to sway the judges' decisions. Sometimes they may just be pulling for their team. I know that my team personally has been called down, you know, several times at competitions because we generally being at the very least, you know, 35, 40 people, but normally our team is around 69 members and 70 members, and with that large number, I make all my people, I don't let them just run around. If somebody's competing, whoever's not competing should be around the ranks of the competitors and cheering them on, pumping them up, keeping them going. And, you know, some judges don't like that because, you know, our guys and girls are getting loud cheering their people on. But also, again, it's, you know, they all train together. They have the same instructor. So, you know, it gets real important to them because, you know, how martial arts is. It's like your brother and sisters are out there competing. So I think team competition is a great thing. And I think that it you know, it brings a lot of excitement to the sport. People just got to know how to handle it. But I will say, you know, martial artists kind of show the world how to do it because even though they all come together and we all disagree, you know, as martial artists, we should be able to take criticism, take, you know, all that into effect and be able to run with it. And that's what we do as martial artists. We come together every weekend competing, whether you're on a big money sponsored team or whether you're on your own karate school team. You know, everybody competes hard that day, but then they get along as soon as it's over and done, and everybody's back to business, on to the next division, and nobody has any hard feelings that whoever wins, wins, and you go back to training. Now, that don't mean that there's not a lot of, you know, rivalry going on. Like in the NBA, when we competed, we had a lot of teams that you know, we were in rival competitions with because everybody wanted those divisions. And my daughter, Alex, she would compete in 15 to 24 divisions, and that's because the NBA, once you got the red belt, you know, intermediate and went to black, you could compete in both those divisions if it was a half a year. So, you know, that really would make these people mad because she was getting points in everything. You know, and people are, you know how it is, you know, Professor, like when you're going after those points, you know, like with the Golden Greek, everybody's going after those points. So, you know, those teams doing that and in the NBA, like going after those things, it was great times. It really, at the time you're in it, you may think, oh, man, this team or that. But it really, everyone, I want to, you know, in my personal opinion, I thank them for that because it made our team level up. It always made you work harder and made your people work harder because they wanted to represent their school, their instructor, and their system to the best of its abilities. And I think it really helps to, you know, continue to bring martial arts up and keep, you know, raising the standard and raising the bar on martial arts.
Well, Wolverine, I want to say something that I just want to say in my heart. You remind me of what we used to call on the Sherman Oaks team a kicker. And a kicker would be someone that if we were down by so many points and it wouldn't look like we're going to win, we'd put the kicker in. And the kicker would not just win, but would dominate. And you remind me of the type of person that would be a kicker team. And, you know, you mentioned something that's really important, strategy. And you got to have strategy, like playing a game of chess, a game of war. You got to have strategy or you're
right.
Going to get beat. And team competition dealt with strategy. That's why you had great coaches like Bob Scranton,
right.
Mike Conway, Eric Schumann, I mean, Sid Campbell, Mr. Minshew. He had incredible coaches back in the day, and these guys had vision, and they would help. Because I'll tell you something, buddy, I wasn't that good. I had a street fighting mentality, but if it wasn't for coaching and my ability to listen to coaches, I wouldn't have fought for 45 years. So it's about, on a team, the concept of a team attitude. And I love the fact that you said that you surrounded the ring with the other team players, and they weren't off, you know, having Cokes and eating popcorn. They'd be there for their teammates. And
yeah, our rule is if we go to a competition, it's a team thing. Everybody stays in a line like a pack of wolves. If one stops to get gas, we all stop. We all stop to eat together. We all go to the motel. People don't run around. Everybody stays and does stuff as a team. We go to the competition. Everybody goes. And I don't care if you're the first person to compete and you're done with the day. You're staying until everybody else gets done. I watched and felt bad for a lot of people that I competed against because they would come with their team during the day, but then at the end of the night when they're going for the finals, their teams had left to go home. Our team stayed, so you had that camaraderie and that cheering. Yeah.
Hey, Dean, you were saying about, you know, raising the bar for martial arts and, you know, the teams and that. You know, I agree with you 100%, but, you know, one problem with some martial artists is they can't pass the bar.
Well, exactly. But that's where, yeah, that's exactly right. They can't. But, I mean, you know, but the thing of it is it makes them, it gives them something to strive for. And as long as people are bettering themselves and getting better, even if they don't make it as high as they wanted to go, then they've got better than where they were to start with. And that's why, you know, being a champion and stuff, it's a good thing because people look up to you and you need to make sure you set a good example so they try to emulate that and try to go forward and move on and do things and even take it one step further. Like Joe wanted us to not just emulate him but innovate and to take it to the next level. And if if you're taking it to the next level in your own personal journey, then you've excelled.
Okay, Dean, we used to have a saying in the Sermon of the excellence attitude of perfection. Now think about that for a minute. The excellent attitude of perfection. Now, nobody's perfect. You know, God's only perfect. But you want to have the attitude because you were on a team to show excellence because you were chosen to be on that team and you wanted to work for that perfection. And that was one of the things that we lived by. And, man, that was
our team name, PVT, a lot of people don't know what it stands for, but Piles Valley 2-0, and prayers, vitamins, and training. Because you cannot win without prayers, vitamins, and training. And then the Piles Valley 2-0 is my way of putting everything together and anything goes in a combat situation. So,
Thank you,
just the way we do it.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Your 3 minutes of your attitude of perfection, and that's what the Wolverine is. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we've done every week for the past 9 years, and with the vision of Jesse Bowen, we've been in your living room on a Tuesday night talking about sport karate. Now, don't forget to mark your calendars for the biggest event that we got going on for Judge Roy Kerbin, October 8th. And for more information, just call 713-483-0476 to find out more about this huge event for sport karate. And as we say every week, and we mean it from the heart, mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Number one, in the bottom, multiple books. What will refer to the books? Some of my figures. I have heard the most. Yeah, books. than I've been from the waist down. What's the worst one that you've had? My knees are constantly in pain.
Uh-huh.
And number three, are we still asking that much of a
question? We see what he's going to say.
I would say, what's the worst accident you've had while someone's sticking?
I broke my
kneecap. Wow. Do you feel judged for all those sticking? Do people not take that seriously, number one?
Sometimes.
And what's your attitude towards that?
Forget about it.
Right. And number two?
No, people think I'm a bad
man. Okay, good answer.
Number three? People think I'm a bad man. Number two, I believe in the mind when I started paying attention. You jumped over cars, multiple cars. Yeah.
Four.
Why don't you, if you just try to say, please, throw it out. Don't dissolve your heart.
What's the best way to improve your height when you're jumping on a pogo stick? Like, how do you keep a pogo stick up?
The air
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.